Welcome to Built Brave. Driven women sharing their stories to show others what is possible for them. Because we were all born brave. I'm your host, Lo Wentworth, and this is Built Brave. Are you ready? Hey everyone, we have a new guest on. And I'm excited to have this guest on. I'm always excited to have guests on because of the value they bring to you, the information I gain from it, because let's be honest, I do this podcast to also learn and to share with you guys as I'm learning, as I provide a platform for other women to share their stories. Like, that's just a side note. But I'm so excited to have her on because she talks about the power of networking. How to find a mentor and the power of having a mentor and having someone who holds you accountable and is honest with you. How to position yourself as an expert and confidently walk into the room at any event to confidently telling anyone what you are doing, whether you are working up the corporate ladder or creating your own business like she has. We talk about so many things and also how she found her love of telling stories and why that is important to her and why finding out what your personal why is does give you that confidence and power to position yourself as an expert, someone to come to on a particular topic because your why is so strong. And a lot of times your why is about why you're serving people. Just like my why is to share stories, to share my life, what I have learned, the ups and downs, so that someone doesn't feel like they're alone. Because I know someone listening needs to hear this. No matter what I say, no matter what I do, no matter if I'm not feeling it, feeling the conversation, not feeling my own solo episodes. Besides holding my commitment to myself, I also realize someone needs to know they're not alone. Because there have been so many times I've felt alone in my life, and I don't want anyone to ever feel that way. That's a powerful why for me. Maybe it's not a powerful why for you. And it doesn't matter. Your why is personal. And since your why is personal and you've taken the time to figure out what it is to you, that has power. That gives you the confidence you need to walk into any room like the BA person that you are. And with that, let us begin. Hey everyone, welcome back to Built Brave. I'm so excited for today's guest because we're going to talk about it all. I don't even know what we're going to talk about. We had a mini like podcast interview before we even started recording this. So Gabby, can you take it away and introduce yourself and let people know who you are?
Yeah, sure. Well, thank you so much for having me on, Lo. I really appreciate it. My name is Gabby Townsend. As Lo said, I am the founder and CEO of Get PR Communications Agency, and also Get Going Photography Tours. Get PR is a multi-service communications agency specializing in public relations and social media campaigns. And Get Going Photography Tours is a photography tours business based in Philadelphia. Both businesses focus on helping people share stories. And that's really what my main passion is. I've always loved storytelling and I've always been very interested in other people's stories, in why they do what they do and how they got to where they are or what they're doing and their journey throughout that time. So Get PR focuses on telling the stories of brands and businesses by getting them media exposure in the Philadelphia media market, and also by public relations writing, press releases, media alerts, things like that, and also through social media campaigns, whether it's live event social media coverage or structured campaigns and strategies, and then get going helps people who are visiting Philadelphia be able to take awesome pictures and capture great memories of their trip for them to then go back home to and share those stories with people that they care about of their experience in Philadelphia. So those are my two business babies. Get PR is a little over a year old now. Get Going, I actually just announced a little over a month ago after Get PR's 1 year anniversary. So those two things occupy most of my time. But I do have background in public relations. I have my undergrad and my master's are both in communication studies. And I have worked for PR firms and offices and actually in sports for my previous work experience as well.
So you've done a lot, and it's all had that consistent thread of like telling the stories and that communication and stuff. But I think that's something that's needed to highlight, because not everyone it does a lot of different things, experimenting with different things, even though it sounds like you have a pretty clear vision on communications. Like, you have 2 degrees in it. You very much enjoy it. Like, even seeing you on the screen talk, like, you light up, like, telling people stories. And I'm like, yes, I love that.
The funny thing about that is that I feel like it took me until I started my business to even realize that that is, like, my common thread in everything I've ever done, which I think is funny, because a lot of times I feel like people might get a little caught up who feel like they're all over the place. And I used to feel like I was all over the place until I realized that storytelling was the thread. So even when I worked in sports sales, I was still telling stories in order to sell tickets to sporting events. When I worked in sports communications, I told the stories of that team in order to get them press and exposure and increase ticket sales and sponsorship. So, but I didn't realize that until after the fact. So yeah, it's funny how that works.
Hindsight is so interesting, because I know for me, like, I felt all over the place with different things. I was trying different things, but then I look back on, like, hindsight and being like, the connective thread for me is like learning how to communicate with people and connect with people on all different levels. So, like, I had a journalism degree, and then I went to law school, and then I'm like, I don't want to be a lawyer. And I sat back and looked, and I'm like, oh, now I have this whole other area, this whole other realm of people I can connect with and talk with, because I understand their language. I know what they are saying, versus if I didn't, then I wouldn't be able to connect with them whatsoever.
Right.
So how did you get into sports? Because I know sports was also your launching pad into launching your business.
Right. So I have actually always loved sports my whole life. It's funny because my parents are like not super huge sports people. But I was always watching. I was always attending. I love to attend sporting events even still. And I just love the environment. And I actually first started working in sports technically in college. I worked for my undergrad. I went to St. Francis University, which is in Loretto, Pennsylvania, which is a very, very teeny tiny town. It's about an hour and 20 minutes south of Pittsburgh. And I worked for our athletic communications office, both as an intern and actually as a paid student in communications. And that was really my first glimpse of working in sports, and I absolutely loved it. I literally went to grad school right after finishing my undergrad. So I actually had about a month off. And in grad school, I met someone who actually, she still even works in sports today. And she presented about her job in sports, and I thought it was interesting. So I decided to reach out and ask her more about it. And she actually ended up passing my resume along to her boss. who ended up hiring me 2 weeks later. So it kind of was a good timing. It kind of was a luck thing. It kind of was a networking thing, all wrapped up into one. But I worked for the 76ers minor league team in Delaware, which at the time was called the Delaware 87ers. Now they're known as the Delaware Bluecoats. And they now have their own arena in Wilmington. But I started working with them in ticket sales, got promoted within that position. And I also worked on the game day crew for the Sixers for game day, for home games. So that was my part-time job also in sports. And from there, I actually, through networking, I ended up getting hired with the Philadelphia Soul, which was the arena football team in Philadelphia. And I was actually their head of communications. So I finally got back into what I went to school for. I guess it was, 2 years after? Yeah, 2 years after I finished my master's, I guess, somewhere in there. So that was kind of my segue. And I honestly absolutely loved it. I'm still connected with so many people from both of those jobs. I met some absolutely amazing people, mentors, especially from both of those positions. And some of my biggest mentors, both professionally and personally, are within the Sixers organization still. So I learned so much from both of those jobs.
I think that's because of the sports mentality, because it's a team mentality. So anyone who's ever done sports realizes, even though you might go through some shit, like workouts might be hard, you might have a bad game, you're still working together and you're having that mentality and you're one team, and it's not necessarily you against I. So I think that's why it's just like interesting to see the connections like in sports and how ingrained in mentorship is really important to them, because you grew up learning that.
Right. And at the Sixers, and I think it's at most sports teams, because I have a lot of contacts that work for sports teams all over the country. And it's very competitive. But then again, that's a lot of the personality of people that work in sports, or people that enjoy sports, or people that played sports. So it's funny, a lot of people that end up working in sports did play a sport at some point, which I think, you know, definitely makes sense. But it is very competitive. And so having a mentor, whether it was in the department or that higher up, a director, even in the C-suite, I have a few. And it was very helpful within that environment. But it's just been really nice to be able to have some really great role models. Pretty much, honestly, throughout all of my professional career, I've been very lucky. Even in PR as well, when I worked in PR, in Philly, a lot of my contacts that I have from then, I have now still. These people literally have known me since I was a college intern and have watched me come up now to have my own business, and are still just as supportive as they were when I was in college. And I really couldn't be more thankful for that.
Mm-hmm. It's really amazing. Mentors are important at all levels. So that's why I think it's crazy when people are like, you don't need a mentor or a coach when you're done like playing sports, but you're just like, that's what I'm used to. Feedback is the greatest gift ever. So.
Right. And it's actually crazy, because I was at a conference not that long ago, and the moderator had asked the audience to raise their hand if they did not have a mentor. And I honestly think that like a third of the audience raised their hand. And I was like totally shocked, because I feel like not only do I have multiple mentors, I feel like I have a mentor from every stage. Like I have one, I have them from undergrad. I have them from my master's degree, which is at LaSalle. I have them from the Sixers, from the Soul organization, from PR. Like, I feel like that's just, it's so crazy to me, because sometimes I really don't know how I would have been able to get through certain situations without one. So if people are listening to this and they cannot think of someone that they would consider a mentor, I highly recommend trying to find someone, whether it's, you know, maybe even it's someone you've already connected with before, that maybe you really look up to them and they really inspire you professionally or personally. Maybe, you know, they can turn into your mentor, but it's, for me, I think it's crucial.
Right. You need it. Everyone needs it. It's like, you know, you raise a child and the saying is it takes a village. Mm-hmm. Well, it takes a village for anything. It just doesn't stop when you turn 18. And somehow in our society, like once you turn 18, asking for like any help whatsoever means you're a failure, but you don't know what you don't know.
Right.
And you can't get where you want to go based on the information you're operating at the time.
Right. Well, I even feel like that saying goes exactly the same for a brand or a business. Mm-hmm. Like, there is no way I launched my business completely, entirely alone, where I bounced ideas off of not one single human. Like, I don't even know if that's actually possible to even accomplish that. But like, I'm sure even when you were thinking about this podcast, there had to be some person that you talked to about it before it existed to get it out of your own head. Like someone, anyone. Mm-hmm. So even, you know, with my businesses, my family was crucial for me with that, as well as my professional mentors, as well as a few friends. It's just, I feel like this saying goes exactly the same, whether you are launching a business, a clothing line, a podcast, whatever it is. It definitely, I think, takes a village for sure. And mentors and a good support system really play a huge part in that.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it took me 2 years to get this podcast off before I did it. Like, I had an original idea for it, and then that fell through, and then life happened, and I got clear on what it is that I wanted to do. And then I one day was like, screw it, now's the time. Might as well just launch it.
Yep. You never know. That people used to always tell me, you're never going to have a defining moment when you're going to be like, okay, I think I feel ready now. Like, you just got to jump. You just got to do it. And that's what I tell a lot of people. I've been on a few other podcasts now, and that's what people told me, and I didn't get it until I did it. And now that's what I tell people is just make sure that you realize that there may not be. If you have that moment, great. I personally did not have that moment, but especially with Get PR, I you know, was unemployed for a month exactly. It actually took me 3 days to make the decision that I was going to launch it and for me to develop the name, which the name for both of my brands stems from my name. So both of my business names start with Get. And Get is actually my initials for my first, middle, and last name. So it ended up working out really well. But and Get Going was actually formed also through my own personal hashtag for myself that I've been using for a few years now, Gab on the Go. So it was kind of like a spinoff of that, plus travel, plus the target market for that is tourists and travelers into Philadelphia for now, and then eventually just all over the world. But you may not have that defining one moment where your light bulb clicked and you're like, all right, this is it. This feels like the best time. You just sometimes have to just leap of faith.
Really, that's what it is. And it's like, I don't believe in the phrase, like, start before you're ready, because I'm sitting here like, what does that even mean? First of all,
how do you know when you're ready? You don't always know.
Right. You don't always know. And then I'm like, well, what does it look like to start before you're ready? Is it launching right away? But like with you, you had to take 3 days to figure out the name and that you were deciding that you're going to do Get PR.
Right. And some people, it takes them 3 years, or it takes them 3 weeks or 3 months. In my defense though, I honestly have always, it's always been in the back of my mind for me to have a communications agency. Mm-hmm. That was a premeditated thought on my part. And that I give credit mainly to working for entrepreneurs and with entrepreneurs. course, in my past job experience, but and I've been really lucky to have some awesome entrepreneur PR mentors in Philadelphia along the way. And so I had people like that to look up to, that this is, you know, how they, you know, something that they did as well. I'm not gonna lie, I was a little nervous at first, because I started it, I'm 26 now. I started it when I was 25. And, so I thought that could be a little young, to start a whole agency. Just especially by, you know, doing research of not only the Philadelphia market, but also outwards from there of, you know, PR, firms and things like that. But I've always been the youngest. I'm used to now being younger in a room or an environment of, you know, entrepreneurs or people, you know, professionals, working in sports. At first, obviously they hired me when I was young. I finished my master's when I was 22. So I was still young, obviously, when I was the youngest person in my master's program. And now I'm involved in some other things as well, where I am also the youngest. I'm on the advisory board for the Burlington County YMCA, because I actually grew up and currently reside in South Jersey. And I'm the youngest board member there for the advisory board. So I'm used to that, but it did make me a little nervous. You know, we all have that little inner imposter syndrome. You know, natural, which now I know, I didn't know that that was normal, at first, but yeah, it happens. And honestly, you just have to keep your head down and keep doing your thing. And if you're passionate about it and you have the skill set, then everything else just kind of comes to you. Clients, potential employees, even interns. So it's, you know, it took me, I didn't know how this worked at first. So it's just been kind of learning as I go.
It's pretty much how any of it is. Like with the podcast, like I was just like, I'll just throw it up there, see what happens. If people like it, great. If not, great. And now I'm starting to get emails and contacts from people being like, hey, we would like to be interviewed on your podcast. We listened to this episode. Here's our story or my story. And I'm like, okay, well, this is actually kind of cool. Like a side note of like, I don't know, who cares? I love, this is a creative outlet for me and this is what's coming up. And so it sounds like that's what happened with you with Get PR too.
Yeah, it's been, I've been really lucky for the clients and the projects that I've worked on in the last year have been pretty much all referral based or somehow it's somebody I've worked with before or somebody I know who has a business or a brand or somebody who I know who knows someone who has whatever. So I really have not done any like cold prospecting for it or anything like that. And I've been very, very fortunate. But I'm in the same, very similar position. It's like at first, you know, the social media was a little slow. And it's funny because now I spend my days managing social media for other people that sometimes mine falls to the wayside a little bit. Now I will check, you know, the DMs for Get PR and I have people asking me if I'm hiring. Lord, everyone, I wish. not quite there yet, but I will be really happy when we are, but I'm not quite there yet. But I do have people that message me and email me asking me if I'm hiring for full-time positions. I was super nervous, and actually I had set a goal for 2020 to hire my first intern for Get PR. And now with everything that's happening with COVID-19, that's obviously been put a little bit on hold. But now I'm getting inquiries about students looking for internships and things like that. And I also have still been getting inquiries for people looking to hire us for either PR, social media, both events, retainer clients. It's kind of like full spectrum. So I've been very lucky and fortunate with that. But I do also do a ton of networking, and I have been doing a lot of networking for a few years now. I really had to when I worked in sports, especially if I wanted to be able to meet people in other departments or eventually hopefully move to other departments. And then also to do my actual job of selling tickets, of getting press, things like that. So I am used to networking. I used to go to a ton of events, be in different clubs, chambers, all those sorts of things. So I do attribute a lot of our business to that as well.
So what would be a tip you would give someone for networking who's just starting out or wants to, I don't know, freshen it up or see more results if they're feeling stagnant?
Right. My biggest thing is, I know now I am a pretty extroverted person. I have always been my whole life. But I do have a lot of friends that are introverted, that are entrepreneurs also. You do not have to be an extrovert in order to have a successful business. I don't know if people don't know that, but just in case you didn't know. but I do know a lot of people that are a little bit more introverted that have businesses that still struggle with the whole walking into a networking event alone situation. So my biggest thing, honestly, is confidence. Mm-hmm. I know that that is way easier said out loud than actually done. However, I want people to remember that you are the expert. So if you have a business, you are most likely an expert in something, or a brand. You have a brand of a podcast. I do not know the first thing about podcasts, not one thing. I mean, I enjoy them for fun, but I do not know the first thing about recording, editing, nothing. And I would consider you, now that you have a successful podcast, an expert. So if you were to go into a networking event right now and you were going to pitch your podcast to, maybe it's a potential sponsor, or maybe it's like a higher profile potential guest, you have a successful podcast already. You are the expert. Even if your business is not maybe officially launched or announced or completed, you have to have some skill, experience, mm-hmm. in order to even start. So you have to be an expert in something. And so I feel like sometimes, like I said, because of it, you know, whether it's imposter syndrome or whatever it is, we kind of lose sight of the fact, or maybe just not even use the word expert to describe ourselves like ever. So a lot of times when I go into a networking situation, I just remind myself that I am currently an expert in public relations and social media management and strategy. I'm also an expert in storytelling. I'm also an expert in photography. Now that doesn't have to mean expert as in highest level achieved. That just means that you need to be confident that you know what you are talking about. So like, you know your podcast, you know why you started it, so that you should be able to confidently tell people. It's not like you're telling people stuff that you just had to memorize and you have no background in it whatsoever. So that's what I always try to think about. If I ever get like nervous in a networking or public speaking kind of situation, is that I'm doing this, or I was asked to do this, because I'm an expert. So I need to make sure that I present myself as such, because how could somebody trust me and hire me or get PR or do a tour for Get Going if we aren't portraying ourselves as the experts? So for me, I wouldn't want someone to represent my business from a PR standpoint if they weren't confident in their own ability. So you know mm-hmm. what I mean? So it kind of stems from confidence, but also even just mentally telling yourself like, okay, I am the expert, tends to really help.
No, that's really, really important for like a lot of people. You're doing different things. Like we even discussed, like you figured out what your through line was telling stories, enjoying saying stories, but you wouldn't have known that until you looked back at everything that you've done.
Right.
So you've been practicing building up that muscle and confidence in telling stories. And that's what people just need to take the time and like look back, and they are an expert. You don't need to have a piece of paper at the highest level or have multiple, I don't know, journal articles published for you to be expert status.
Right. Even in one of my sub industry of photography, like there are so many people. I didn't go to school for that. Like I don't have a degree in fine arts. I don't have a degree in photography. I don't have any certificates in photography, but my father was a professional photographer and photography teacher for over 40 years. He bought me my first DSLR camera for my 18th birthday. I have literally been taking photos since I was 16, as far as being able to use, you know, the actual skills of photography. So do I have a degree hanging on my wall here for photography? No, but I would consider myself more of an expert, considering that it, you know, it's something that actually was a hobby for a long time that now I'm also turning into, you know, career. I think that it's sometimes people get a little caught up, but you can absolutely be self-taught in things. I literally just watched a webinar earlier, from someone who is totally self-taught with branding, and web design and things like that. And they do absolutely incredible work, and completely self-taught. And we're lucky that we have so many resources available to us, especially now, right now when we're recording this, we're in the middle of quarantining with the global pandemic that is happening. And although it is so crazy to me that I can barely leave my place, I am really thankful for all of the online opportunities I'm able to access right now. And I'm actually taking entrepreneurship courses online right now to eventually have a specialization and certificate. I've been watching a ton of webinars, doing a lot of virtual workshops on marketing, social media, you know, branding, that kind of stuff, just so I can learn more. I really do like to learn. So there is always, always, always more to learn. And hopefully I will be able to use what I'm learning now to kind of help me take a step back here, figure out how I can translate what I'm learning to my businesses, and then be able to grow them, or at least prepare the plans to grow them once we are finally able to do things to do without even thinking about it. So
right, you don't have to double question being like, should I go out right now, do I really need to get that one thing that might not be at the grocery store right now?
Right. It's honestly nuts, but it's also making me realize that one, taking a step back can be very helpful, and being able to look at what I've done, and like you said, maybe people listening to this aren't sure what their common thread is. They've been doing a lot of stuff, and maybe this is the time. This is the time that you can sit and be like, wow, what have I done? And is there a theme for everything that I've done? And I noticed throughout literally every job I've ever had, starting with when I was 16 and I worked at Auntie Anne's Pretzels in the mall, literally until now when I own two businesses, my common threads were sales and pitching and storytelling. Those were my themes from Auntie Anne's Pretzels to now. But it took me until I was forced to step back in a situation that I was not in control of, similar to right now, for me to be able to see that. So sometimes that's, you know, really important, but there are a ton, even if we're not in quarantine when we go live with this episode, which hopefully we aren't, there are so many resources that are available to people. Even if you don't want to start a business in something, you just want to learn, there's so many online courses and apps, websites where you can learn for free.
Yeah, I think that's something that's really important to say, like there are options. So even in this time where it's uncertainty and people feel lack of control, that mm-hmm. they don't have control over anything, the world's spinning out, but you do have control over something. Like you take a step back, the whole world is taking a step back. So utilize the time. It's not saying eat bonbons and Netflix and chill by yourself, because that's all you can do right now. It's, you can do things like you're taking an online class. I'm reading books that I've been putting off and, you know, starting to get organized on what it looks like for me to launch my coaching business and what that is all entails. So it's taking that time. But I also want to go back to the point where you said, like, you're with the photography, you're self-taught, and a lot of things you're self-taught. And I think that's important. And I personally would more likely want to work with someone who is self-taught than someone who had a degree on their wall, because those who are self-taught shows me they're passionate about it, and mm-hmm. that I'm not going to discount them for if they didn't get a four-year degree and pay several pretty pennies for that piece of paper, because they were out doing the work and creating that skills they needed and mm-hmm. developing and doing it for fun. Not because they felt like they had to.
Right. And it's crazy because times have totally changed on this. And my family and I talk about this all the time, in that so many people are working right now in areas, industries, positions that had nothing to do with what they went to school for, mm-hmm. if they even went to school. And nowadays, you don't even have to have a degree. I have two, but I mean, I could, like we said, if I was looking back, even a year ago when I started Get PR, mm-hmm. If you had asked me if I would open a business in photography, I would have been like, really? Like, I would do that? Like, mm-hmm. huh. But it took my family and I. Get PR was more of, that was always something that I wanted to achieve. Mm-hmm. I didn't think I would achieve it at 25. I thought maybe like 35 or even 40, but I did not think it was going to be 25. But that was something that I had actually envisioned before. Get Going was totally not something I had ever thought about until my family actually went on photography tours for two different trips they went on in the past year. And by talking with them, by looking at potential competition and looking at what was currently going on in Philadelphia, if there was anybody providing something similar to this, I realized they weren't. And I'm like, wow, okay, this has to happen, because I've been wanting to figure out how to incorporate, if I could even incorporate photography into my business. I didn't want it to be too far-fetched and seem like it was kind of random, you know, like a random service that mm-hmm. we had offered with Get PR. But it was a hobby that I kind of got away from a little bit when I was working in sports. I just honestly didn't have the time to be able to dedicate to, you know, going out and shooting and then coming home and editing and things like that. But it's something that made me really happy. And I have always wanted to somehow incorporate travel into my work. I absolutely love to travel. I always have had, you know, what my family seems to think of as a travel bug. Mm-hmm. I always wanted to go places and do things. So I actually did travel a little bit when I worked in sports. I did travel with the Philadelphia Soul when I worked for them. So I was the only front office staff that traveled with the team for away games, and I loved it. I loved being gone every other weekend. I loved going to places I had never been or places that I hadn't been in a while. And I got to be in some great cities with some great people. And so now Get Going actually brought my two biggest hobbies into one job. Mm-hmm. So that was huge for me. And when we were talking about it, I literally had said, to my family. This brings two things that I love into one. Like, how perfect, like, I have to do this. This is literally perfect. And that's how it kind of literally fell into place over, I would say, a few months, maybe like 6 months. And I'm lucky in that regards, but there, like I said, and you know, like we've been saying, there's so many resources out there. There is so much money out there. There is so much opportunity out there that, it's very, I think in today's day and age, it's a lot easier to be creative in combining what you love to do and actually go and do it and get paid.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like when, you know, our parents were younger, that was not a thing for them. They went to school to be teachers. They went to school to be nurses and lawyers. And even trade schools weren't even that huge yet. And they're like, there's just so many options now that I think honestly that we are the lucky ones because we are able to really create our own way for ourselves. And I don't think that past generations that was able to even be a thing.
Yeah.
So we're very lucky for that.
Or if it was a thing, it was harder for that. And you saying that brings up like Gary Vee, I think I saw a TikTok of one of his talks that he does. And he goes, the older generation is astonished that the younger generation doesn't want to get a 9-to-5 that pays 70K if they're lucky a year, because we all have opportunities to be able to make 200K or more a year, and we can go do that. Like, we've seen it, whatever it looks like. There's different ways of creating it to happen. There's no linear path anymore.
Right. And I mean, you could even have that job that's, you know, a six-figure job. You got great benefits. You know, it's consistent hours. It's consistent pay. But maybe you sit at a desk all day and maybe that's not you. Mm-hmm. There are plenty of people that thrive in that kind of environment, and that's great. Me personally, that is not me. I have tried it. That is so not me. I have never been that way. I've never been able to really stay put. And so I would rather get paid less and maybe not have those benefits or benefits at all, to be in a position that makes me happier or to make me have a better quality of life. And that's just me. Now, do I think I'm alone in that? No. But again, I think that it's preference. I think that you learn that a lot with trial and error. I know a lot of people, I feel like even in the last couple years, who have left jobs that they willingly, that they have been totally miserable at, but it, you know, maybe they were afraid to leave for financial reasons, or maybe it was the benefits, or maybe they, you know, have people to take care of or whatever. Or maybe if it's a, you know, a little bit of like a professionalism, like resume or ego kind of scare, there's tons of reasons, but I feel like I have seen so many people recently leave jobs that they were miserable at to what some might think of as settling for something that makes them happier. And I am so proud of those people. If you leave a position willingly that made you feel comfortable or safe, but not happy, to me, that's huge. Because I have been there, done that. And I know that it is very scary to think about that. You know, whether what, I mean, when I was unemployed, I thought I was lucky. I was still living at home. I was single, no kids, nothing. I literally shared even my pet with my family. So I thought I was in the best position possible to be unemployed. But I know that that happens to people that aren't in those same situations as me. And, but for me, in my opinion, I think it's totally worth it. I had gotten let go from a position that I really loved. And now looking back, was it hard at first? Of course it was, for tons of reasons. But looking back, I always say now that that is the best thing that could have happened to me at that time. And I, pretty much all of the people that I know that have left their jobs that they might have been unhappy at, they will say the exact same thing, that they have no regrets, that, you know, was it hard at first? I'm sure it was. How could it not be, honestly? But, you know, at the end of the day, like I said, I think that we as this generation of millennials and the generation after us as well, I think that we are very fortunate that we can have so many creative ways to do what we love and make money doing it. Will it take a little bit of creativity to kind of work that out and finesse it? Sure, it will. But it's obviously doable. There's plenty of us out here doing it. You've had plenty of guests on the podcast that are out doing it. You're out doing it. So, you know, I highly suggest that people, again, I love stories, especially entrepreneur stories. So I always like to, whether it's reading books or listening to podcasts or reading articles online about entrepreneurs and why they're doing what they're doing. Because for me, that just not only inspires me, it pushes me more. It also helped me to learn a lot when I first became an entrepreneur, because there's still stuff that I have no idea about. Like when I first started, I didn't know, did my business have to be an LLC? I didn't even know what LLC stood for. I didn't know anything. So I just, honestly, I was lucky to meet entrepreneurs that I could go and ask them these questions. And now I have friends that are looking to start a business, and I've had a few people come to me with these questions, which has been really amazing. And I try to help as much as I can. I try to help people, because I was lucky enough to have a couple people that I could, you know, reach out to, but I didn't know them until I started networking. So I didn't have anybody at first, except for, you know, people whose books I read. So I try to help as many people as I can.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, I could talk forever with you. Like, your story is just so amazing. It's talking about resilience and even pivoting and getting creative with that and how that goes. And then what I do want to touch on is, like, I really love, like, I enjoy the people who, like, break the norm. So if they leave their job and start doing whatever they're wanting to do, or take a minute to figure out what it is, I mean, that takes a whole lot of courage. And it's pretty much saying F you to a system that we all know is not working, or is not working anymore as what it could be, because there are so many unhappy people. And I think it's more important for people to live a happier health lifestyle. Lifestyle, same thing. I'm making it the same thing, because again, like when I was growing up and seeing my family go to jobs that they hated and were miserable, I'm kind of like, I don't want that. There has to be more to living than just punching a clock, sitting at a desk and collecting a paycheck.
Right. And even now with our personal lives, you know, it's, do I have friends that have followed the model of high school, college, marriage, baby? Yes, I sure do. And I love them, and I love their babies and their significant others for the most part. But but do we have to? No. But was that the norm? Yes, it definitely was. There is no denying that that was seen as the norm for a while. And I love seeing the memes of, you know, where it's like, you know, go to college, get married, have a baby, house, white picket fence, you know, whatever. And do people have that? Yes. And are they happy? Yes. And that is great. And I'm happy for them too. Does it work for everyone? No, it doesn't. I don't know about anybody else, but I finally feel like we have gotten over that hump. Mm-hmm. I think that when I was like, maybe in the, I don't know, within, I think honestly within the last maybe 5, 6, 7 years has been still the transition of that. But I truly feel like we have gotten over that hump finally. I think that is now, you know, the norm is now people can live however they want. People can marry whoever they want. People can be whoever they want. And now people can work in whatever they want, pretty much. I mean, it, you know, people ask me you know, in interviews and things like that, you know, how was it being a woman in sports? It was great. I loved it. And I was lucky enough that when I was working in sports as a female, in my department, there were not a lot of women. Actually, in Delaware, there were, not so much with the Sixers, but with in Delaware in sales, there were for sure. But in management, there were, and that was huge for me. Mm-hmm. There's, and even now, I think it was, it might've been the Philadelphia Business Journal, a couple years ago, had done a huge article on the women of the Sixers, especially in the, there's women in the C-suite, there's women directors, and it's amazing, and they're absolutely fabulous. And so it's definitely different mm-hmm. than before, when there was rarely, you know, barely any women in sports. Was, you know, I mean, is it still a minority? Sure, of course it is. That's just the way of the world. But you know, I've also had positions of sales. Sales in general used to be a very male dominated field. Is it now? Statistically, maybe, but I feel like there are so many women in sales now, and that's sales of all kinds. Retail, pharmaceutical. I always talk about PR and sales being very, you know, very intertwined, because I have to go out and I have to pitch or sell mm-hmm. stories of my clients to the media. And there's a lot of women in PR as well, especially in Philly. So I definitely feel like we have gotten over the hump of breaking these lifestyle old norms. Mm-hmm. But I mean, do people get wrapped up in it and insecure about it still? I'm sure they do. Do I think you should? Absolutely not. But again, it's one of those things. I'm sure it's easier said than done in certain situations. But again, I think we really are lucky now with the world being the way it is, and with what we have access to. I try to look for those positive little things instead of, you know, quarantine and gun violence and border problems and mm-hmm. things like that.
I did my podcast at Rid Solo Cast. It was short, and I did a Instagram post about finding the fun in things. Like mm-hmm. you have to find something fun in whatever you're doing, in whatever seriousness that is going on, just to break like the tension, to shift, to maybe figure out the creative solution to a problem. But you can't always be serious in fear, anxiety, worrying about things, and right. being like, I have to be hard because life is hard. Like, no, there are magical fun moments. You can be silly.
Right. We do still have those positive times and positive mm-hmm. things and positive stories mm-hmm. and innovations and advances that we can still focus on in light of everything that's happening. Like, my favorite thing right now is like everything that's going on social media. First of all the TikToks that are being created right now, I am so here for it. I will literally watch these videos all day if I could. I also love the see a dog, share a dog trend happening right now on Instagram. I love seeing everyone's dogs. My dog that I share with my parents is now with my parents, who have just moved like 3 hours from me. And so I don't get to see my dog, but like over the last 48 hours, I think I've seen the dog of every single person I literally have ever met on Instagram, and I love it, and I'm here for it. So I'm cool with that. I think that people, you know, I've seen posts about it being overdone, and people think that other people are being insensitive. Like, y'all, we're just trying to be positive. Like, it's okay to be checking in on news updates to see what's going on in your county, in your state, with all of this coronavirus talk, and then also go and laugh at someone's TikTok video 2 seconds later. Like, it is okay. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean we're any less informed. That doesn't mean that we are any more ignorant. That just means that we acknowledge what's happening. We're trying our best to do our part to make things safer, but we're also trying to be happier. Jesus, let us be happier.
And on that note, mic drop. Let us just be happier. Let us live our life.
Coming to my TED talk.
I'm glad I created the platform so you can have your TED talk. Where can everyone find you?
I'm probably most active on my Instagram account. It is at my first and last name. So it's spelled G-A-B-B-I. And then my last name is Townsend, T-O-W-N-S-E-N-D. So at Gabby Townsend is my personal Instagram. I am pretty responsive with my DMs. So I highly suggest if you are an entrepreneur, or even if you're not, and you have questions about entrepreneurship or about, if you also, I always tell people, if you've gotten let go from a job recently, I know this happening a lot right now. And people that when we're listening to this podcast are probably still going to be affected by this. If you need somebody to talk to, if you need advice, please reach out to me. I've been there, done that. I'll be happy to talk to you about it. And also about my businesses as well. My businesses on social media, GetPR is at getpr.work, and GetGoing is at getgoingphoto. My website for each of those is in the bio, except for GetGoing, because it's not finished yet, but hopefully by the time you hear this, it will be.
Well, I'm sure it will be. You'll whip up some magic in all of this creative time.
All the quarantine time, yes.
Yes. In between your studies. What's a podcast resource book that has given you value that you would share with the audience?
Oh my God, that's so hard. Well, just overall, I am very big on audiobooks. I will not lie, I'm a terrible reader. Not just sitting still and reading a book, but I also am honestly just a slow reader in general. So I love audiobooks. I'm always on the move. I listen to them in the car, at the gym, on the train, going to Philly, all the time. So I'm very big on audiobooks, and I love self-help. I actually have sitting right here Influencer by Brittany Hennessy that I'm working on finishing. But I also work out of Rec Philly at 9th and Market in the Fashion District, and they have a lot of great resources, and they're very, very affordable if you're looking for somewhere to work out of. If you're a creative, whether you're an entrepreneur or not, they have an awesome workspace, so I have a lot of resources through them. And also, honestly, just there are so many events in Philadelphia. You can search for women's networking events. There's all types of things. I try to share a lot. So if you follow me, I will try to post some in my stories usually. Also, please feel free to ask me. I could definitely send over some for the month if I know of any. Right now there's a lot of virtual events happening, yay coronavirus. So, there's tons of opportunity there. But honestly, another huge resource I love is Skillshare. You can find a lot of free resources on there for literally anything. I have watched videos on using Squarespace because I also suck at that, but I'm making my websites myself. You can watch and it's things on photography. You can watch some on podcasts, literally anything. So just honestly, Google. It sounds so crazy and basic, but look it up. I promise you, it is 2020. You will find it.
Mm-hmm. Google is everyone's best friend.
Oh my God. I don't even know if I could guesstimate how many times I Google things a day. Like, I think I do it without even paying attention. I love
spelling
it.
A word, looking up a place,
figuring out the weather.
Yes, all of that. Thank you, Google gods. What would you say has been your bravest moment so far?
Cool. I think my bravest moment, honestly, would be launching GetPR. I launched that at a time of my life that was, to be totally honest, filled with uncertainty and anxiety. Like I had said, what set me up for that decision was being let go from a position and That had never happened to me before in my life. And being able to not only just start a business in general, but having something that was my own, that I was doing from scratch, doing all the work. I had no investors, no business partners, nothing. And also for my industry as a whole, I seemed to be pretty young in starting this venture. It was a really huge, huge leap. Not even a leap. It was more of like a almost tumble off a cliff kind of opportunity. But it really honestly made all the difference. And I can't really imagine what I would be doing if I didn't do that. But that would be my bravest moment so far.
I love that. Taught you a lot of skills.
Yes. And I honestly never thought I would start a second business, but I felt so much more comfortable with it that because I already had started one. It seemed like it just came more natural to me. And instead of the stress and anxiety, it was way more of the excitement. I was excited about Get PR also, but I feel like the stress and anxiety and uncertainty kind of outweighed that a little. And that's natural. It's your first, you know, it was my first time ever doing this. I didn't know anything about starting a business. And so the second time around, it's been really nice that I've been able to enjoy the more of the excitement this time around.
So then the final question, what is your definition of brave?
So I kind of feel like there's two parts to this. So one would be getting out of your comfort zone. I think that can relate to literally anything in life. You could be in any industry. It might not even be about work. It might be about your personal life. It might be being brave for a relationship with a significant other or for a family member that is maybe going through a hard time or is sick or someone that's passed away or buying a house or it could, any life decision you make, it could really fit under there. It is just being able to step out of a feeling or feelings that you are used to. We cannot dwell in what we're used to forever. We just can't. We wouldn't have any room to grow if that were the case. And maybe you don't even realize it, but we are always growing, you know, whether it's personally, professionally, and we wouldn't be able to do that if we weren't brave in certain circumstances. I think that is really huge, is stepping out of the comfort zone. And then once you step out of the comfort zone, you have to realize that what people say or think about it usually doesn't matter. I say usually because I know that there are some people that take certain people in their lives' opinions very seriously. Again, whether it's a significant other or it's a family member or it's a mentor. And it is, again, another one of those easier said than done sometimes type of situations. But at the end of the day, you are being brave because you feel like you need to, or because of something that you are passionate about. And who is to tell you otherwise in either of those situations if both of them are supposed to be for your well-being? Most of us have to be brave. Literally, the reason why we are brave is to protect ourselves. So who is someone else to tell us that that's not okay? Like I said, of course, there's some people that, you know, their opinions might be weighed more than others in our lives. But at the end of the day, we have to be able to protect ourselves and do things for ourselves. And being brave is a huge component of that. And I think that, you know, we need to step out of our comfort zones and try our very best not to let what other people think or say affect that.
I love that. Like, mic drop again. Done. Do your thing. Who cares about what other people say? Well, Gabby, thank you so much for coming on. I really enjoyed our conversation. And again, I feel like we could talk for hours about many different things that would help people. But
yeah, well, thank you so much for having me. And we can always continue conversations, you know, on social media. Mm-hmm. So, you know, when we post about this, everybody, please, if you have any questions or you have any reactions or thoughts, please feel free to comment or message either one of us. I'm sure we would love to, you know, discuss further and, you know, maybe in, you know, other capacity somehow. And, I know that, you know, not to speak for you, Lo, too, but I know that we are both here to also help. We are both experts in some things, and I'm sure, you know, I know for me, I would love to be able to help people that, you know, are going through similar situations or have similar questions or problems.
Hey everyone, thank you so much for listening to this episode of Built Brave. If you love this episode, heck, if you like this episode, please head on over, give it a rate, review, subscribe, like, shout it out on your social media with your major takeaways and what you loved about the episode. And as always, tag me in that at Lo Wentworth, because I love hearing what you guys got out of the episodes. And until next time, remember, you've always been brave.